Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to NCMMA Radio.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of NCMMA Radio. This is your host, Tyson Roush. You can follow this show on our website, ncmmaradio.com, also on social media, ncmma_radio. In this episode, we have a very special guest. It's actually the owner of NCMMA and a former UFC fighter. It's Nick Catone. So, Nick, this is Tyson. How you doing, man?
Good, man.
So, Nick, the first question for you is, how is retirement? Because every time I see you, you're either training or rolling with somebody.
Yeah, you know what? It's nice to be able to pick my spots and not have to beat myself up every day, you know. But, no, I still enjoy training with the students and, you know, some of the guys that are coming in, you know, like Corey Anderson, Paul Felder, a lot of the guys have been working with them, you know, for their fights, even some of the, you know, Marlon Moraes doing some wrestling and stuff with him. But, you know, it's nice to be able to train and, you know, like I said, pick your spots rather than have to train every day. And, you know, when you got a fight coming up, it's a little different. You're a little forced to it. So it's, I enjoy it now, you know, the coaching aspect and, you know, I'm just, you know, I take it one day at a time. If I need a couple of days to rest, I take a couple of rest days.
Yeah, no doubt. And you mentioned Paul Felder, who has a huge fight coming up this weekend against Josh Berkman, UFC Fight Night 88. What has it been like working with Paul? He's a, you know, he's a strong guy, very physical, and he definitely pushes the pace. So what has it been like working with Paul Felder?
Yeah, so Paul's very talented. You know, he's got all the tools, man, and to you know, be a champion one day, you know. And I'm just you know, helping him out, just we're tweaking a little bit things, you know, little things for this fight coming up. You know, with Berkman, you know, and you know, I think that you know, if we stick to the game plan and you know, bring it to Berkman, you know, I think it's going to be a rough night for Josh.
Yeah, I mean, we watched the sparring sessions at NCMA, and it's like a pay-per-view. It's so impressive with all the talent. How hard is it to manage, like, all the fighters in terms of just, you know, like, the sparring gets a little heated sometimes or things like that? How hard is it just to manage that and try to keep them focused on, like, technique and just getting good work in?
Yeah, you know, it's there's so many top guys in here. Everybody's competitive and, you know, and everybody gets heated a little bit and everybody wants to one-up the other guy, you know. But in the end, everybody's here to help each other out, you know, and – you know, it's good to see, you know, after, you know, if it were Edson and Paul going at it, I mean, you know, at times they, you know, they go at it pretty hard, but right after, you know, they're giving each other tips and, you know, trying to help each other out and, you know, but that's what it's about, you know, even when I was in the wrestling room, Division I wrestling room, that's how practice was, man. Every day was a battle and a war, you know, but afterwards, you know, we can laugh about it, go hang out and, you know, grab a beer or whatever it was, you know. So, you know, but you need that competitive edge inside the gym too, because I think it keeps you on your toes.
You know, I definitely agree with that. And the one thing at NCMMA is, like you said, there's so much top talent there and things like that. Is it like a true training environment for them and the young students? Do you see a lot of like interactions where everybody's kind of learning from each other?
Yeah, well, I think you see you know, there's a lot of young guys, up and coming guys in the gym too. Just watching those guys, I think, you know, you sit there and you know, you're going to learn just watching, you know, just the way they train, the way they approach things, you know. So it's, you know, not everybody, you know, at my gym, you know, wants to be a fighter. You know, a lot of people like to come in and just go through a great workout or be around those type of guys and, you know, or be taught by those guys. you know, but it's definitely beneficial for my young guys that are coming up, and you know, they got all these guys coming into their gym, and you know, they got a 30-foot octagon to train in, and you know, they got everything they need here to succeed. You know, with the coaches, the training facility, the training partners. You know, they pretty much just got to show up and you know, they'll get better. It's a lot of the stuff I wish I had when I was in the game. You know, I started training in the garage, and now these guys got a little MMA playground here, you know. So I was running around trying to find training partners. I never got to train in the cage, you know. The only time I was in the cage was pretty much on fight nights, you know. So these guys definitely have an advantage, these young guys coming up.
Yeah, no, your facility is amazing. And like you said, you had the box ring, you have the cage, you have a ton of mat space, you got heavy bags, you have it all. The one thing I find just amazing is with all these fighters that they all train together, they also take time to help students, things like that. It's like a very, like you said, they'll bang it out in the cage and they all sit around and talk about it and they try to help each other. Is that something you like to foster with your team, like that camaraderie and that true like teamwork and like teammates?
Yeah, you know what? I was always like, you know, lead by example. I was never a real big, you know, loud guy. Like even when in wrestling, I was captain, you know. And I think you see guys like Frankie Edgar and guys like that too that are quiet and they just kind of they get in here and they do their thing and they train hard. And I think that goes a long way, you know. And you get your top guys and your leaders doing that, everybody else is going to follow suit. You know what I mean? So I think you got good leaders in the gym. You got great coaches like Mark Henry and you know Ricardo Almeida and all these guys. Same thing, you know, they're all great guys and everybody that's training under them, you know, they're all going to follow suit and it just kind of stays that team unity when you got good people at the top.
Yeah, and the one thing is, you know, we interview a lot of your younger fighters like Ricky Mendejas and you know just like today Justin Borowski and Paul Capaldo and all these guys, Kyle Werhahn. They all talk about your work ethic and your drive and how you push them and how much they appreciate it. Is that something you take pride in where it's just like my fighters are always going to be in shape, they're going to be focused and be well-trained?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, if you're not in shape, you know, I don't care who you are. I mean, you're going to have a rough night. You know, you may not be as skilled as the other guy or talented, but if you come in, you're in shape and you're ready to go, you're going to be in that fight, you know, and that was just one of the things that was always engraved in me as, you know, coming up through high school and college wrestling. I always trained hard and did the extra mile. And, you know, I was able to compete at the highest levels in college, Division I, and, you know, in the UFC and MMA. And, you know, I just try to pass the torch on to these young guys, man, just kind of show them the way. And, you know, they don't have to, find out the hard way. You know, or, you know, maybe take a couple losses to realize what they're supposed to be doing. You know, I've been there, so it's nice to be able to, you know, just teach these guys and train them right off the get-go the right way to go about it. And, you know, most of them, you know, they get in here and they bust their butts, and it's paying off for a lot of them. And, you know, they're doing very well.
Yeah, they are doing very well. You see just in the results alone. And every one that I've talked to all said the same thing. Like, Nick stays honest, man. And they all appreciate it. They love you for it because it's just like they're getting the results they want. I guess this question I have for you is, you know, even with Paul Felder, the sport of the UFC is just – or MMA, actually, is evolving so quickly. How do you keep up with it all in terms of, like, all, like, the new striking tips or all just the new just takedowns, all that? How do you keep up with all that?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, the game's always evolving, you know what I mean? So you got to be always willing to learn and pick up stuff. You know, wherever you go, you can learn anything. You know, just as same thing deal with wrestling, you know? It's you see great coaches always learning from other guys, picking up more little things. And the more that you can put in your arsenal and, you know, if it's me as a coach and pass that off to these younger guys or, you know, maybe guys like Paul, maybe, you know, I've seen some things that, you know, that he hasn't seen before. Maybe I pick up stuff from him or Edson. And, you know, that's where I think is having a great team. There's so many great guys in the room and around here with coaches and, you know, elite top guys that, you know, everybody's kind of branching off of each other and picking each other's brains and, you know, adding little things into their little game. And, you know, it just, you know, everybody's making their own little styles up, but, you know, everybody's, you know, coming out and putting out great performances, and the team's been doing very well lately.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, it's just like you said, the results. You have so many title fights coming up for a lot of guys. Like, you know, Marlon's defending his belt. Frank Yeager's getting a shot. Eddie Alvarez. How much does film study play in all this? Like, do you watch a lot of film? Like, when you're helping Paul out, do you study a lot of film and things like that to help prepare for Josh Berkman?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, as a fighter, I didn't like to watch a lot of film because I always felt like I got caught up kind of worrying about what they were going to do. And, you know, it's funny, the first time I talked to Paul about that too, he said the same thing to me. I said, that's exactly what I said when I was fighting. So now, you know, I'm on the other side of the fence as a coach, you know. Yeah, I studied a lot of film, and, you know, I think that's definitely a big part of the game. And, you know, even watching these guys, their own sparring in here, you know, Mark Henry's huge on that, you know, and filming the guys and then going and dissecting it and, you know, and seeing what guys need to work on or, you know, or what's working for them. And, you know, and yeah, I definitely think that, you know, film is a big part of the game nowadays.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that. And you're right. Every time you see the guys sparring, there's always somebody filming it. You know, another guy we mentioned earlier was Corey Anderson, who, you know, he's an instructor at NCMMA, a great boxing coach, and he had a, you know, big fight against Shogun that didn't go his way based on who you believe. I mean, the result wasn't his, but everybody that you asked kind of seemed like he won, you know, 2-1. What were your thoughts on that fight?
Yeah, I thought he was winning the first round till he got caught right at the end there. I can kind of see how that swayed maybe to Shogun. The second round, you know, was close, but I thought Corey kind of controlled that round, you know, and it was kind of, you know, he threw a kick, and I think it looked worse than it was at the end there, but I think he still kind of controlled it, had a couple takedowns, you know, so I definitely gave him, you know, the second and the third. But, you know, it's, you know, anytime you leave it to the judges, man, you never know. You know, I had a tough fight like that on the West Coast in Portland with Munoz, you know, and, you know, a lot of people said that, you know, they think it went my way, but, you know, that's what happens, you know, and anytime you go down to hostile territory in Brazil, and that's his home country, and, you know, a lot of times the judges are going to be swayed a little bit, leaning that way, you know, and I think that's kind of the case here. And, you know, Corey's a young kid, man. He's up and coming. He's hungry. He works hard. There ain't too many guys around working harder than him. And he'll bounce back, and he's only going to grow from that. And, you know, I think the best to come is still, you know, we're going to see for Corey in the future.
Yeah, no doubt. He definitely has work ethic and the drive. Now, are you surprised by, you know, all the politics now in the UFC? It seemed like when the UFC first started and, like, the sport started to grow, it was – you know, everybody's like about, you know, the good fighters are getting the big fights. They're kind of earning their way, like all the rankings, all this stuff. And now it seems like it's all about money fights and names. And guys like Frankie Edgar are kind of getting screwed around a little bit. And all these things are getting kind of weird. And is that kind of surprising how this is all working out now?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I mean, years ago, I mean, when I first got in, it was the Brock Lesnar. And, you know, I mean, but the guy trained and got in there, and you know, he did his thing for a little bit, and then you kind of see the Kimbo Slice, and you know, then you got the CM Punk stuff. I mean, that stuff, as you know, a mixed martial artist, a guy that's put the time in the gym and training and, you know, put all that hard work in, and then kind of see stuff like that, it kind of, you know, you kind of look at it in a different way. It's just you know, these guys getting, you know, a bone thrown to him just because, wherever he was a professional wrestler, you know, just because it's going to be, you know, ticket sales and, people are going to order it, you know, and I guess, you know, money talks, and I think that's a lot with, McGregor, you know, and it sounds like he's kind of running the show right now. And, it's, unfair for guys like Frankie, you know, again, he's a guy that shows up in the gym, busts his butt every day, a quiet guy. And, you know, the guys that run their mouths and all that stuff are the guys that get the big fights, you know. And yeah, it's just, like I said, man, it's the guys that are quiet and putting the hard work in sometimes are the guys that miss out. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I'm hoping, you know, they kind of, you know, see this whole McGregor train that they started and created a monster, maybe that they'll, you know, see where things are going and have to put an end to some of this stuff, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's really unfortunate because now you're seeing guys that usually don't talk much. They're actually forced to do some trash talking to try to generate some hype, and it just doesn't seem natural. It seems forced, and it's just not really the way it should be, at least in my opinion. As a coach, you know, and as a very successful fighter, what are some of your tips for young fighters? I mean, it seems like, you know, you learned a lot. You're a phenomenal coach inside the school. What are some of your tips for young fighters?
Well, I think, when guys come in, everybody wants to spar. Everybody wants to, fight. And, nobody wants to, put the time, or maybe not that they want to put time in, they don't realize what goes into it, And I tell a lot of guys when they come in, man, it's not something that you can just flip a switch and all of a sudden, yeah, I'm going to jump in a cage. It takes a lot of training and dedication and a lot of the younger guys that I have, they all came in and I told them the same thing. I said, listen, you got your own classes, you start training, you put your time in, the guys that stuck around and listened to me, they're all doing very well. There's a lot of guys that came in and, those answers, of when they can spar and all that stuff and that wanted to jump right into it, some of those guys had left and, but the guys that do stick it out, I think, you just got to take it one day at a time. And, I think that, not a lot of times coming in and trying to do everything off the get-go is, always a great idea. Some guys that come in with a little different background, maybe guys have a wrestling background or, maybe they have a karate or stand-up background coming in. It's a little different, but, I think just stick with one or two things and then grow from that, and just get in the gym, put the time in, and don't expect anything to be given to you. You got to earn it, and, that's pretty much how I went about it, was got my butt in the gym all those years of wrestling and just kind of snowballed from there. I got into jiu-jitsu and then, stuck with that, and it's all led to what I have here today with the gym.
Yeah, and your gym is just, like I said, it's amazing. It's a great facility, and it's just a training environment is awesome. So I guess my last question for you is that, it's what's it like being a gym owner? I know you're there all the time, but what's it like for you? Is it hectic? Do you have any time to actually enjoy it?
Yeah, you know what? It's been a pretty, pretty fun ride. I opened up a little less than 6 years ago and, a little gym, and it's, this is our, pretty much our third location in almost 6 years. So it's been growing, but I'm always trying to, improve and do bigger and better. And, I think that's what my students and stuff, love about the gym is I'm always trying to make things better for everybody and try to make a better training facility or, bring in more instructors and top guys and, just try to keep things fresh, yeah, sometimes I say, maybe just take a break for a little while, but, the wheels are always spinning upstairs and, I think, even better things are to come with the gym, and I got some more plans, down the road, and we'll see in a couple of years where we're at.
Yeah, no, I mean it's exciting times, man. Like I said, as students we go in there, and it's just training is always awesome, the environment's great, and then you have the likes of Paul Felder and Corey Anderson, and then you have even Marlon Moraes and Edson teaching classes. It's just from like a student or even a fan of MMA, it's just an amazing experience. So, Nick, well, first of all, thank you for your time tonight, and thank you for letting me do this podcast. We're having a blast talking to all these fighters, a lot of your young fighters and all USC guys. And the last thing is, what's your prediction for this fight? Paul Felder, Josh Berkman, it's a great fight for USC Fight Night 88. So what's your prediction?
I think Paul's going to either stop him at the end of the second or early in the third. I just think he's going to be a little too much. Guys' cardio is insane, and he's a dangerous guy if you're going to sit there and stand with him, So I think just his pressure and pace of the fight, I think he's just going to wear on him, and, I think eventually we'll slow him down, we'll catch him.
Yeah, well, we're definitely looking forward to it, man. So have a safe flight out there, and good luck Sunday night.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Tyson.
All right, thank you, Nick.
I'll see you.
All right, everybody. Well, that was Nick Catone, the owner of NC MMA, where we all train at and where all these fighters train at. and also a former UFC fighter, a very good fighter who fought some very, very talented guys throughout his career. So we want to thank Nick for his time. We want to thank you for listening, and please tune in again next time.
Introduce myself, I'm a man.